Welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. I am a certified personal trainer, and I'm here to help you achieve your fitness goals without pain. In each episode, I'll share tips and strategies that will help you stay safe and pain-free while you're working out. I'll also interview experts in the field of fitness and pain management. So if you're ready to learn how to stay active and pain-free, then subscribe to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast today. Welcome to another episode of the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast, and I'm your host, Dana Jones. So, I didn't have something planned today, or I did, but then I didn't, and I was kind of going back and forth about stuff. And part of the issue is that I was out traveling because I went to a conference for my day job, and I had to prepare and get ready, and then it kind of hit me what I wanted to talk about, because for this day job gig, I flew to Kansas City, and I had the opportunity to present a topic that is near and dear to my heart, right? Talking about SEL, social emotional learning, and how we can help students, kids, look at where they are and how they improve and set goals and all that kind of good stuff. And in the process of me preparing for this trip, I was dealing with my own issues of nervousness and anxiousness and all that kind of good stuff. And it reminded me of preparing for an event. And, you know, when the event is many months away, you're like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do this triathlon. I'm going to do this half marathon, and I'm going to get a training plan. And you get the training plan, and, you know, you write it out and on your little sheet of paper, or put it in your calendar, or do all the things that you need to do. And everything's great, right? You are able to go. You know, I'm going to run on, you know, do my long run on Sundays, or, you know, just those types of things. And the process is oddly comforting, I guess, is the way of kind of, you know, well, maybe just for me, because I like having a schedule and I like following a plan. but as you get closer to the event, then things start to creep in, right? So what's going to happen to me? You know, I have this little, you know, pinch in my knee. Is it going to affect me while I'm out there? You know, or I know that I can run 6 miles softly, but, you know, boy, when I get above six, then I start to have that, you know, tightness in my lower back or whatever it may be. And then it, you know, it's like the seed. So it keeps growing and growing and growing. As you get to race day, then, you know, of course, the night before, you get no sleep. And then, you know, you show up for the event and you start comparing yourself to others. Oh, that person looks like they're going to run a lot faster than me. And, you know, you hear people's conversations and like, oh, I've been training for 2 years for this. And you're like, holy crap, I've only been training for 16 weeks. And it kind of, you know, and so a lot of times, like, I'll put headphones on and just tune everybody's out, their asses out, because I'm all, I got to do my own thing and run my own race and not compare myself to others, not look at bodies, not look at all this stuff. But there's this fear that kind of gets conjured up. And as I was doing this, you know, preparation for the conference, I was like, wow, this seems oddly familiar. Is that, you know, a few months ago when I found out I was going, I was super excited. Yay, I get to present on something I know. I'm really excited about this, you know, and up until like a week out, I'm like tightening up my presentation, doing all the things that I need to do. And then probably about, I'd say two or three days before, I was done. Like, mentally, I was toast. And so I stopped sleeping. I was laying there in the middle of the night, and I was worried, and, you know, and because I was worried, I was getting higher and more worried and whatever. I couldn't figure out, like, where the worry was coming from. And I realized that a lot of it comes from the fact that I was just traveling. And that happens with races as well, right? You know, your anxiousness for a race that's in your hometown may not be a big deal, but if you have to get up early, you know, and God forbid, right, you're late or you sleep in or something like that, like that would happen. I really would love to hear an athlete is like, oh yeah, I totally slept in on a race day and totally forgot I had a race, right? Like nobody does that, right? You're up, you know, yeah, like my alarm's supposed to go up at 4, you know, go off at 4 o'clock and you're up at 3:30. I have half an hour to sleep and then you're up at 3:35 and 3:40 and you're like, I might as well get up because I'm up anyway. But you know, so I was looking at this and I was trying to figure it out. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm nervous, right? I'm nervous about leaving. And, you know, we have a new puppy and then I have the comfort of my bed and my routine and all those things. And I didn't, you know, I don't want to change, right? Because this is stuff that makes me feel good, right? This is my pocket. My pocket of happiness is to be is to wake up and know what I'm going to eat in the morning, or at least I know what's my, you know, what my refrigerator may hold or not hold, or that I can go to the store because this store is 0.3 miles away, or, you know, whatever it may be. And that going to a foreign, you know, out of town city, you may not know where things are. And some people relish in that, right? They're just exploring and they're doing things or whatever. And then some people are like, I'm just going to sit in my hotel room and wait for the time to pass. So I'm getting ready for the trip and I'm doing the things that I need to do to prepare myself. And, you know, I don't know anything, right? I don't know where this is coming from. And of course, through the work that I've been doing, I'm like, I got to sit in this fear and I have to sit right here and I have to feel the stomach twinges and know that they're just letting me know I'm nervous or excited. Right? You could be excited about something. And a lot of times your body doesn't know the difference about being fearful or being excited. And just that idea of that and sitting there, I was like, okay, well, here we go. You know, and of course I have to leave early to go to the airport because our flight leaves at 5:45 and the airport is far. So I had to get up and be ready to go by 3. And so, you know, there's just a lot of stuff. And I get there and everything ends up being oddly fine. I'm calm. You know, I'm happy to be around people that share the same motivations and philosophical interests that I do. You know, I'm with my people and all the fear just melts away and I'm really enjoying myself there. And so as I was waiting yesterday for our time to leave, I, you know, started thinking about it. It's like, well, what does fear have to do with, or why does fear occur, right? So according to my fabulous source of Wikipedia, right, fear is a very unpleasant or disturbing feeling caused by the presence of imminent danger, right? So, you know, leaving my house could be dangerous. I don't know. But I always love looking at, you know, the acronyms for fear because there's all, you know, those four-letter words always have some really cool stuff. So, you know, it could be false emotions appearing real. And I can't remember, there's another one my aunt used to say, of false evidence. Yeah, false evidence appearing real, right? And so just that, you know, idea, it's like, okay, was there imminent danger? But apparently my body interpreted that, right? So I have to kind of go with it. When I look back, I've done, I don't know how many presentations, and I've been nervous for those presentations. And, you know, there were moments where I kind of felt like I was going to die, but of course I didn't because I'm still here talking to you. And I realized that, of course, the bodily sensations are the ones that are causing that issue, right? That the rise in anxiousness, like I feel a twinge in my stomach and then I go, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to feel sick and not be able to do something? Does it mean that I'm going to have to lay down and miss out on all the action? Does it mean, you know, the worst thing ever is that I'm going to be in the bathroom forever and I'm never going to get out and everybody's going to know and, you know, just, right? You know, the fear spiral is real stuff. It's like, shit, you know, this is happening, literally. Anyway, but I guess what I realized is that, you know, part of that is my imposter syndrome. Right, is that even though I have prepared, even though I know the subject, even though, you know, if it's a race, I've done the things that I could do, there's always that idea sitting in the back of the head that I could do more. You know, oh, you missed that one day 3 weeks ago, and I bet you that's going to be the difference between, you know, this time or that time. Or, oh, I forgot that slide, so now I'm going to have to spitball it, and people are going to know, and that's going to be scary. But as I was going through this presentation, I realized, like, I wasn't nervous. And I was prepared to make mistakes and own up to them, right? Because I'm not going to blow smoke up these people's backsides, right? This is what's happening. And I think the biggest thing that I got out of it was that my body was in alignment. It was in alignment, that was easy for you to say, with what I was doing. And there was nothing that was stopping me from doing it. I know the information. I feel really good about it. I am confident in my knowledge and at least my ability to spitball or to adjust or pivot or whatever you want to call it. And just it was neat and it was interesting. Right now, you know, looking back at, you know, the days before, right, there was a lot of things going on, right? Leaving my house, getting on an airplane, which has always been a challenge for me, and dealing with the sensations, because I can honestly say, or I would say it's fair to say, that flying in an aircraft being piloted by another individual is not exactly me, not in alignment with my mind and my body. Right? It's like, because, you know, as especially as triathletes, we have a tendency of being control freaks, and the idea that somebody else is taking us there is, you know, a little crazy. But I was in the situation where I was doing my thing, and it wasn't perfect. And I don't know if anybody noticed or cared, you know, because the information that they were getting was something that they wanted and that they were curious about. And I've realized that when I'm dealing with things that either make me curious or make other people curious, I have no issue, right? And I don't know what it is about athleticism that is different, right? Because maybe because it's so cut and dry. And I mean that in terms of, you know, if I'm running, I'm putting one foot in front of the other, right? That's the way it has to be. And there's no real deviation from that. So where with this, you can deviate. So I don't know if it's the flexibility that is there for me that I feel like, oh, you know, like I don't worry about it, right? You know, it's no big deal. And then it could be the fact that I just knew that these people that were here and that were observing me through this process had zero judgment. And they just had love. And I don't know if we always find that in the athletic arena, right? Because even the people that are quote unquote supporting you are like, well, I'm still going to beat you, you know, and triathlon is so damn weird because, you know, we get body marked and they do this for identification for a number of reasons, right? So one, to categorize people for awards, two, to, you know, as a safety precaution to make sure that, you know, your number's there in case they have to find your body somewhere, you know, like in the water or something like that. And then, but the unintended consequence of body marking is that I know how old you are. And so if I'm running or riding my bike and I look down at your calf and it says you're 70 years old, inadvertently my body kicks in and goes, we're going to beat this 70-year-old up the hill or we're going to do this, right? And then, of course, then they pass you and you pass them and it kind of goes back and forth right throughout the whole race, and that's kind of the nature of it. But there's never a moment where I just go, damn, I'm so grateful to be out here and look at all these people. We're all happy. We're enjoying ourselves. We're doing our thing too. And I don't know if that's just me because of my competitive nature, or it's just that the sports are designed to elicit that type of reaction from our bodies, right? Is wanting us to get our personal best or wanting us to get on the podium, you know, for my age group or whatever it may be. But anyway, back to my conference thing. One of the other things that I realized, and this also happens with events, is that there was not a time that when I was there that I thought about going home. You know, let me get through this so that I can just get home and get back to my bed and back to my animals and back to my family and back to the food I know and all that other stuff. And that surprised me. And I realized that it wasn't until yesterday where I was like, wow, I really want to, I think I'm done. I want to go home. But that was very shocking because throughout the event leading into there, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel like, oh, I just need to get to this point so that I can make it a little bit further or, you know, one more sleep and then I get to go home. And I think that's the first time probably in my life that I have felt that way. And I'm all, yay, high five me, because I realized that I have grown, that all the work that I have done, even though there are times like the nervousness that I felt kind of scared me a little bit because I thought I was backsliding, but I just didn't, I guess, realize my progress, and that through this process of growing and observing and, you know, allowing my body to function the way that it needs to function, I actually grew. Like I know who I am. Well, I don't know if I know who I am. It wasn't a complete come to Jesus moment, but it was definitely a little sparkle in the sky, right, of this happening. And I was also able to take space to acknowledge my success and go, I did a pretty good job. And I feel good about what I did. I did not damage these people. If anything, I helped them. And I guess it's just odd to me because there are times when athletes are putting so much pressure on themselves that you don't have that ability to be present and see the things that you need to see and acknowledge the, I don't know what to say, like, you know, I don't know, the flowers or whatever it may be. So when I reflect back at my events, I have some standout memories, but mostly when I'm doing my own event, I'm just trying to get through the event, get to the end, you know, do it without dying. Right, because apparently that's my overall goal for everything I do is to not die at the end. And I realize that's kind of a messed up mindset. But, I mean, what am I saying? I mean, it is truly a fucked up mindset that you're doing all this preparation and hoping for the best. And then when it comes to that, like, crowning moment or crowning achievement, you're not present because of, I don't know, your fear of failure. You know, I don't know, all the different things that could possibly happen during an event. And I realized that I've changed that. But now the goal, right, because I've changed that in my personal life, but now the goal is how do I change that in my athletic life? How can I change it so that when I am participating, I'm not just trying to get through it, that I'm not taking moments and I'm looking at the flowers or the people cheering or the cool sights or hills or sunrise or sunset or whatever may be happening. And how can I create a situation where I'm more than half-assed present, right? Which is probably kind of interesting. But where is the value in an experience if you can't remember it? I think that's the biggest goal there is really if you can't remember something, then how do you step back and acknowledge your accomplishments? You know, I know, of course, in athletics, we give you a medal, right? So you can sit there and gaze at it and go, yay, I did that or whatever. But a lot of times what ends up happening is we go, yay, I did that. And then we throw it in a drawer. You know, we may talk about it for a couple of weeks after we do it, especially if it's a particularly hard event. But all in all, you know, we got through it. So when I was kind of messing around with this and thinking about these ideas, I started looking back at my childhood and looking at how much pressure I put on myself. And honestly, the lack of meaningful memories that I have for my participation in sports. And that's sad, right? You know, I'm 54 years old and now I'm looking back and I'm like, dang, I don't remember what I did as a 9-year-old or the trophy I got for this or whatever, because I was so afraid about my performance that I wasn't there. And that is something I can't change. Like, I can't help little Dana feel those accomplishments, but I can now, right? I can help Dana now look at it and go, okay, you know, where is my brain at as a part of this process? So then I wonder, am I grateful for being here or am I just doing this to torture myself? And that's where that bodily alignment thing kind of comes into play. And so now, having these two different mindsets or significant events that are quite similar, I'm looking at the way that I choose to participate. And so do I go in as false evidence appearing real, or do I look at my fear as something under the alignment of face everything and rise? And will that do something different for me mentally and allow me to be successful in the things that I choose to participate and avoid either the freak out or at least be present in what I'm doing? Anyway, that's all I got for you this week. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.